Father hears our prayers and is gracious to us. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you have participated in that, thank you. It's always a blessing to physically kneel before God. We can humble our hearts and our minds to him, but sometimes the action is a great blessing as well. It's not necessary. It is to humble ourselves before him and let his lordship reign over us, but to physically kneel sometimes can be a blessing. So I read in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, about how faith is the stuff. It's the proof that unseen things exist, that there is a spiritual, it's not a magic, it's not any kind of weird mojo. It's just real and normal stuff, just like our everyday stuff. It's just unseen and it's powerful. So because we believe, we don't make things up. We get them handed to us and we believe them. So God is good. In the English service that we're about to proceed through, this topic that I've chosen in Hebrews 11, we're going to be delving into Genesis. We're going to read in Genesis chapter 6. We're going to hear the whole chapter of Genesis chapter 5. We're going to close with Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to go from 5 through 7. And we'll make another pit stop along the way in John. But, you know, if you have ears to hear, and if you're interested, please lend yourself to Father and just let him have his way with you as we go through this topic this morning. The title for my sermon is, You Have a Story. You have a story. Each of us has a story. So in Hebrews chapter 11, the first mention of a man of faith is Abel. He's one of Adam and Eve's sons. The genealogy that we're going to read today doesn't even mention him or Cain. That's very interesting to me. The next person that Hebrews 11 mentions as a character of faith is Enoch, and then is Noah. So I'd love to preach a whole sermon on Enoch, but there is not much said about him. But what is said about him is very astounding. The other thing is that Enoch and Noah, they have a biblical phrase in common. So I'd like to share that today. And the way the Noah story is going, I might spend the next 2 or 4 sermons talking about Noah, but we'll see how the Holy Spirit leads on those. So let's hear Enoch's story. So in Genesis chapter 5, starting from verse 18, and this is in the middle of the genealogies, which we'll read in whole in a little bit. Excuse me. Jared had lived 162 years and fathered Enoch. Jared lived after he fathered Enoch 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Jared were 962 years. He was 962 years old when he died. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God. After he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters, thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And that's all the scriptures have to say about Enoch, except for in Hebrews, in the New Testament, where it tells us he is a great man of faith. So all scripture tells us about Enoch is that he walked with God. Then he disappeared. He never died. Father took him straight up to heaven. We also hear of another instance like this in the story of Elijah elsewhere in Scripture, but that's a story for another day. So now, the Noah story begins in chapter 6. So Genesis chapter 6, and then starting at verse 5. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made him. And then verse 8, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. So there it says, Noah walked with God. That's what Noah had in common with his great-grandpa. His great-grandpa was Enoch. Enoch had a son, Methuselah. Methuselah had a son, which I don't have in front of me right now, which is Noah's Lamech. And then came Noah. So Lamech was Noah's dad. Methuselah was his grandpa, and Enoch was his great-grandpa. So what did Methuselah and what did Lamech do? So there were two generations in between Noah and Enoch. Enoch walked with God, and Noah walked with God. And when I read the genealogies, I always think of them as separate stories that one begins after one ends. And then it struck me, and I thought I'd check it out. Often a great-grandpa could even live to see his great-grandchildren. And then thinking about how most of these men lived to be 900 years old, I thought I'd go back and I'd do the math. So let me read another portion of the scripture, and then we'll carry on. Genesis 6, 5 and 6 says that the Lord saw the wickedness of man, and that it was great in all the earth, and that every intention and thought of man's heart was only evil continually. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved his heart. Wicked, wicked times. And somehow during all these years that passed by in that wickedness, Noah learned what his great-granddad did through his dad and his grandpa, because Noah actually never met his great-grandpa. Noah's great-grandpa died the year before Noah was born. So don't understand me. Noah did well, but it's not his doing that pleased God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says it very clear, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So seek him. If you seek him and believe him and draw close to him, he will be blessed by you, and you will be blessed by him. People don't believe God easily. We all want to be our own God of the universe. We all want to control our circumstances. We all want God to do what we want God to do, almost so to say as to be God over him. Many of us also have negative feelings, and we think we're worthless, and we want to make ourselves better. People want what they want. We want what we want. I won't say that it surprises God. I'll say it surprises me. Whenever someone gets saved, the angels in heaven rejoice. It's a celebration. They're not surprised, because they know what God is capable of. But when we believe God, it pleases him. So if we have faith, faith is what pleases God. Reckless abandon of self is rare. That phrase, reckless abandon of self. When do we ever think, I'll just throw myself away and I'll go on somebody else's ideals? We never do that. We're always taking care of ourselves and our loved ones, and we're always trying to work towards some kind of goal. I'm surprised when people believe, and that shows my weakness. People want what people want. You want what you want. I want what I want. But it pleases God when someone wants what he wants instead of their own wants. God is happy. Blessed, a translation of blessed can be the word happy. God is happy, he is blessed by people who believe that he is right, that he has what's best for them in mind, that he has the power, he has the control. God doesn't want to control you. He just wants you to believe him and then choose based on his ideals and purposes. And that's faith, is believing that God is, but not just that, also believing what he says. We give up our ideals and our actions to preserve ourselves, to believe his ideals, and to let him take care of ourselves. He is pleasantly pleased by people who let him do that. I have a lot more that I can say on that topic, but I think I'm going to carry on from there and continue through Noah and Enoch. Now, the Bible, it doesn't say much about Enoch, as I've said. And we have no idea from the Bible how Enoch's faith was passed down to Noah, because it doesn't emphasize anything about the other two characters that I mentioned, Mahalalel, Methuselah, and Lamech. But Noah walked with God as well. And that's how his grandpa lived his life. So we can assume, loosely, that the two men in between Enoch and Noah were both believers of God as well, even though there was a time of great wickedness on the earth. So at the end of the book of the Gospel of John, I want to share a couple of passages of Scripture, because, see, there seems to be a gap here. We know very little about Enoch, except he had great faith. So it's a mystery, but yet it encourages us. And the same thing about Noah. We know four chapters about Noah, because his story is from Genesis chapter 6 through 9. So we have four chapters in Scripture, but again, could you encompass a whole person's life in four chapters? So there is still a lot missing. How did he get his faith? Who taught him? And all of those aren't irrelevant. It came to pass, so the evidence is there, and so there's enough for us to have faith. So in John, if we look at chapter 20, there's two verses. And then if we look at chapter 21, there's one verse, and I'm going to read the three of them put together. So John 20, verses 30 and 31. Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. So that's in the Gospel of John. So there's a lot of works Jesus did that aren't written in the book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. And then the next chapter near the end has one more verse, John 21, verse 25. Now there are also many other things that Jesus did, and were every one of them written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. So we have this one Gospel of John, which compared to all the books in the world would only be a mere few pages. So there's obviously everything that happened wasn't written, but John tells us that enough was written so that we may believe. In the same case here with Enoch, enough was written in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, just a phenomenal short portion talking about his faith was so great that he didn't ever die, and God just took him as he was. And so Noah, speaking of him, the same phrase, Noah and Enoch, they walked with God. So, there are some gaps, but that's not a cause for any lack of faith, because enough was written so that we could believe that God is, and that he is good for us. Our souls, our spirits are safe with him. So I looked at the genealogy and I did the math. So there was 10 men. Actually, I'm going to take that opportunity to read that passage of Scripture now. So let's read Genesis chapter 5. And it talks about 10 men, so it doesn't take too long. Here's a genealogy. This is the book of the generations of Adam. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Male and female, he created them, and he blessed them and named them man when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years, and he fathered a son in his own likeness and after his image, and he named him Seth. The days of Adam after he fathered Seth were 800 years. And he had other sons and daughters, and thus the days of Adam that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. So Adam was 930 years old when he died. And Seth, he lived 105 years when he fathered Enosh. Seth lived after he fathered Enosh 807 years, and he had other sons and daughters, and thus all the days of Seth were 912 years, and then he died. Excuse me. When Enosh had lived 90 years, he fathered Kenan. Enosh had lived after he fathered Kenan 815 years and had sons and daughters. And thus all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and then he died. When Kenan had lived 70 years, he fathered Mahalalel. Kenan lived after he fathered Mahalalel 840 years, and he had other sons and daughters. And thus all the days of Kenan were 910 years, and he died. When Mahalalel lived 65 years, he fathered Jared. Mahalalel lived after he fathered Jared 830 years and had other sons and daughters. And thus all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. So 5 years short of 900. So everybody's living about 900 years old in those days. When Jared had lived 162 years, he fathered Enoch. Jared lived after he fathered Enoch 800 years, and he had other sons and daughters, and thus all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God, and he fathered Methuselah 300 years. He lived 300 years and had other sons and daughters, and thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And so we could ask the question, why did he live so short compared to the other ones who lived all 900? Well, it says here in verse 24, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Verse 25, when Methuselah had lived 187 years, he fathered Lamech. Methuselah lived after he fathered Lamech 782 years and had other sons and daughters, and thus all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. When Lamech had lived 182 years, he fathered a son and called his name Noah, saying, out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one shall bring us relief from our work and from the painful toil of our hands. So that's what his name Noah means. Lamech lived after he fathered Noah 595 years and had other sons and daughters, and thus all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and then he died. And finally, Noah was 500 years old when he fathered Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And thus the closing of chapter 5. So we see, not including Noah's sons and not including Noah, that there were 9 men. Adam, who died before Noah was born. Seth, he also passed away before Noah was born. Enosh, he passed away he passed away when Noah was 52. Kenan passed away when Noah was 147 years old. Mahalalel passed away when Noah was 202 years old. Jared passed away when Noah was 334 years old. Now Enoch, as we know, was taken up by the Lord before he died. Enoch was taken up the year before Noah was born. Methuselah passed away when Noah was 670 years old. So that's his great-grandpa. Sorry, that's his grandpa. Enoch is his great-grandpa, who was taken the year before he was born. Methuselah was passed away when Noah was 670 years old. And then Lamech, Noah's dad, he died when Noah was 595. So Lamech, Noah's dad, passed away before Noah's grandpa did. So Lamech Noah was 595 years old when Lamech passed away, when his dad passed away. And then Noah's grandpa passed away when he was 670 years old, so about 80 years later, give or take a few. So out of these nine men, only three had not been alive or around, because Enoch got taken, to see Noah when he was born. There's such a big gap, if you want to say, from Adam. Doesn't mention Cain and Abel at all in this genealogy. It just goes to Seth, and from Seth all the way to Noah, which after the flood, Noah and his three sons populated the earth with their wives. And so we can see that each one of those nine men, they had a huge story. Could you imagine if in today's date, with our advances in technology and all the things happening in the world today and that have happened coming up to this point that we can learn in history from world history over the world, everyone has a story. Those guys lived 900 years on average. And how detailed would that story be that they lived 900 years and all the things that would have happened through their life and their relations through the world in their history? And then we come to us. Imagine if you were seated in a room where there were 300 people, maybe this sanctuary when it's full on one fine day. Or maybe you're in a church where there's 1,000. Or maybe we're in a gathering where there's 1 million people. On the face of this planet right now, apparently, there's about 8 billion people or more. And each and every one of those gets up every morning and goes to sleep every night, or vice versa, depending on where you work and what your shift is. But we have a detailed story, and God knows each and every single one of you. He knows each and every single one of them. He knows us. So today we're introduced to part of one person's story, Noah, and it's a fantastic story. His great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpa was Adam, and Adam has a fantastic story. And in between them, there's eight other men, and they all have a detailed story. Let's read Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 through 7. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Whoever would draw near to God must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. So faith is a huge element in the righteousness. If we believe God, he imputes righteousness to us. That's how he rewards us. Those who seek him. Just a small touch on Noah's story. Up until the ark was completed, never had a drop of rain ever fallen from the sky. The people that were coming around, they saw Noah building an ark for like 100 years or so, and they were asking him, and they thought he was a lunatic, "What are you doing?" And he says, "Well, water is going to fall from the sky, and this boat that he built on dry land, this boat's going to save us. Would you please come in and join us?" And everybody thought it was absolutely ridiculous to build a boat of that magnitude on dry land, nowhere near water, and that water would actually fall from the sky. Never heard of that before. And so they didn't do it. They didn't go. But Noah wouldn't stop building the boat. So we're going to talk more about that the next time I get to share with you. But this is an amazing story of God's ability. And it's God's story. When you have faith, God is pleased, not by the things you do, but by the things that you let him do for you and that you let him do to you. By trusting him that he can do better and more than we can. Once we see what's important to God and we trust him as a trustworthy dad in our lives, just like we do our hobbies for fun, and they're hard work sometimes, heavy lifting, long hours, but we don't think about that because it's our pleasure. Once we get close to God and trust him, see, that's what faith is, trusting him. When we trust him to do what he can do, his interests become our interests. And then we get interested in helping others and doing things for others that they can't do for themselves. And we even do them for free. And so God is blessed when he sees us taking his interests. I'd say like the family business, except there's really nothing in it for us. And that's how God works, giving everything he has to everyone else. And so we learn to be interested in those things. And then when we give, then we're no longer getting tired because it's just the most interesting thing to do. So it gives us a new perspective. So in closing, let's take another moment wherever possible to go on our knees. And I just want to emphasize, you are in God's story. You have a story. And if we were to take your story and write it down, and some culture 1,000 years from now were to pick it up and to study it, like we do the scriptures and the patriarchs and the magnificent heroes of scripture, the men and women who carried faith up until today, they would have no interest in you personally. Their seeking in your life would be for the purpose of betterment for themselves so that they could better understand God and themselves. And we're allowed to live like that today, free from these self-achievements and all these notches on our belt, and just to be a blessing to God. And then with the family interest in mind, calling him dad, he becomes our blessing, what gives us joy. His interests become our interests, and then we start to give away everything we have to those who need it, of our skills or our intellect, of our time, and of our stuff. And he is blessed when he sees that we're doing those things because he's interested in them, and we've adopted his interests, so to speak, and we've just put ours on the back burner, if not tossed them away altogether. So I'd like to take another opportunity, if you're willing. Let's physically bend a knee wherever possible, and let's bow before him and be blessed. And when we address him, when we talk to him, just talk to him like you would a really close friend, someone you can trust. And you just say what's on your mind, and maybe all you have to say is thank you. Or, I'm doing good, and I believe you're watching over me. Something simple. Or it can be as detailed as you're led to. But we can call him Father. Jesus and Paul teach us that we can call him Abba, which is like calling him Daddy, if you trust him. If you'd like, we can call him Papa. And we can just thank him with such a naivety, such a childlike faith. We can thank him, we can trust him, and we can talk to him. So let's kneel before God, and let's worship him in prayer. Father, thank you for this time of worship and for your grace. And as we're bending a knee and physically bowing before you, we just pray that you give us the opportunity to learn to do this in our heart. So like Enoch and Noah, they walked with you. Teach us to pray continually so that we can bow our hearts before you and just be mercified by you, that your hand of grace is upon us. We trust you. You are our blessing. May our blessing be upon you as well, so that you can take a blessing from our obedience, that we trust you and just thanks. Father, you are good. All honor, power, and glory is yours forever. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So as you're getting up and getting ready to gather the breakfast dishes or whatever it is that you're going about at this time, whenever you could be watching this video, I'll just like to close with the benediction that we read in Hebrews chapter 12, starting from verse 1. Therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, Let us also lay aside every weight of sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who with the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Despising the shame, he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. To Jesus Christ be the glory forever and ever. Amen. You are his. Go with him wherever you go in peace. Amen.